أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Now we will look at Surah An-Nur, Ayah 32 to 34. Last time we learned about hijab at home and outside for a woman. Some people say that only the eyes need to be guarded. Yes, this is the first command in this regard. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَغُدُّ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. But after that, there are more commands, not just limited to guarding the sights. As we learned, this command is for men and women. And no one can say there is no such thing. This is the first command, to have haya of eyes. Then the second is guarding of the furuj, which is the private parts. Number three is specifically for women, not to display or reveal her adornment. Number four, also for women, for her to extend the head covering so it covers the chest. Number five, also for women, is not to strike their feet or walk in such a way that reveals the hidden adornments. We learn two exceptions where adornment is allowed to be revealed and in front of who it can be revealed. And what is the adornment that can be exposed? Her illa ma zahara minha, in front of which people there is no sin in revealing the adornment. In the first, illa is the adornments that are an exception, and where there is no harm in their being displayed. Number two, exception is in front of whom all adornments can be revealed, either makeup or jewelry. But the satar, or that which is considered private, for a man or a woman, cannot be revealed in front of them, except the woman's husband. Now we learn an additional command that is enjoined upon the believers to eliminate shamelessness in the society. وَأَنْكِحُوا الْأَيَّامَ مِنْكُمْ, and marry those who are single from you. Any woman who is not married or is a widow or divorced, and a man who is without a wife, either single or whose wife died or is divorced, marry them. This command is for the wali or the guardian of the woman. Men can have his own nikah done, and there is no need for him to get permission from any wali or a guardian. But a woman needs permission of a guardian to marry and cannot do it on her own. So this command is given to marry the singles. But why? So in this society, sights can be guarded and the private parts are guarded. But to easily obey the commands given in the previous ayahs, have to marry those who are single. This is commanded as a means for protection of chastity. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Nikah is my sunnah, and sunnah of all of the prophets. And in some circumstances, it becomes a fard, or compulsory. But when does it become fard? When someone is fearful of falling into fornication, and they are not married. Then the nikah, getting married, becomes fard on them. So their chastity is guarded, and the person doesn't fall into sin." Here, the men and the wali of women are being commanded, and the Muslim community at large. If you find out about someone who is single, perhaps his wife died, or a woman's husband who died, and as a woman, she cannot ask for herself to be married, then this becomes the responsibility of the people in the society, and they should look for a spouse for them. Not being forceful, but encouraging them, so their chastity is guarded, and should work together as a community to be helpful. In the case of a woman, if there is no wali or a guardian, then a member of the society can help her get married. In ankihul ayyama are all who are single that are included. Wasfalihina min ibadikum, وإمائكم and the righteous from your slaves, those who can fulfill the rites of marriage. Since the Quran is for all times, there are also times in history where there are slaves. So here, these ayahs are referring to marrying off the slaves. So the masters are being told to get them married to protect the chastity of the slave. But why are their masters being commanded? Because the slaves were not allowed to marry without the permission of their masters. إِن يَكُونُوا فُقَرَاءَ يُغْنِيهِمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ If they are poor, Allah will enrich them from His bounty. Many times a man is unable to marry due to the fact that no one wants to give him their daughter. Perhaps due to the financial condition, thinking how he would fulfill their daughter's financial needs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, if he is dependent, then Allah will enrich them from the bounty. So the girl's family shouldn't worry from where would this man feed their daughter. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, do not delay in doing three things. Number one, the fard salah, when it is time. Number two, when someone has died, should hasten to bury the deceased. Number three, marrying of a widow when there is a suitable match for her, and should hasten for it. Shouldn't delay if someone wants to get married for the sole purpose to protect themselves from fornication. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to help this person. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are three men who are deserving of Allah's bounty. One is a mujahid in the path of Allah. Number two, a slave who does makatiba. Number three, a person who wants to marry for safeguarding from fornication and does not want to fall into sin. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps them and Allah will enrich them from His bounty if done with this intention. Wallahu wasi'un alim. Allah is all vast and encompassing and the all-knower. Why is this attribute of Allah mentioned? Because a person could be in a tight financial condition or is needy. Allah is vast and can help him. And how is alim? Because a person doesn't know what doors will be opened for this person. Also, people do not know the good that comes out in doing nikah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows as He gave these commands to marry. So this command is for men to marry who can marry without a guardian. And for a free woman, their guardians are being told. And for masters of slaves, they are being told on their behalf. So nikah is enjoined and commanded. Therefore, by marrying is the obedience to the commands of Allah. And this is part of our religion. Also, in ankihu, it means to get them married, not doing it themselves. In reference to the wali or the guardian of the girl or a woman, if they do it for reward, then this is also a means of getting rewarded, as this too is a righteous deed and the command of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not consider it a good thing if anyone lives as single. When they have the ability to marry and the person is able to support his wife and take care of her rights. But despite this, if he is not getting married, then we learn from one instance where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when once a companion came to him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him if he had gotten married. He said no. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then asked him if he was able to get married financially. He said, yes, I am able. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you do not marry when you are able, then you are the brother of the shaitan. When the person is financially able and has means and doesn't marry is not the same when a person doesn't have anything. He doesn't have the means to marry nor pay the mahar the bridal dowry, then it is a different matter. But if he has the means but doesn't get married, then this is an open door for Shaitan to take him to the unlawful way. If someone desires are at a moderate level, then getting married is a sunnah. But if there is extreme sexual desires, then he must marry. But those men who do not have the strength to have an intimate relation should not marry, and is forbidden because they cannot fulfill the intimate needs of the wife. Likewise, if a man is extremely stern and oppresses people unjustly, and if he married would inflict abuse on the wife, then in that case it is also makruh or disliked for this man to marry. Otherwise, there are many ahadith regarding the virtue of marrying singles, which are found in the Bukhari and Muslim narrations. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, "O youth, if any of you has the ability to support a family, then should marry, because nikah guards the eyes and protects the private parts. And whoever does not have the means should fast, because fasting reduces the desires." If a person has sexual desires but cannot afford to marry, then he should fast if they are unable to marry due to any reasons. The Prophet ﷺ said, "If any person desires to meet Allah in a purified state, then he should marry from the free women." The Prophet ﷺ also gave an incentive for people who are single to marry. The Prophet ﷺ said, "This dunya or this life is a temporary place of benefit, and its best benefit is a righteous wife." In another Muslim Ahmad narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, "If a man has these three things, he is to be considered fortunate. One is a man who has a righteous wife. Number two, he has a comfortable home. Number three, and he has a comfortable ride." Our standards are somewhat different today for who is considered fortunate. And by getting married, person's half of faith is completed. When some Muslims came to the quarters of the Prophet ﷺ's wife in Bukhari and Muslim, they asked about the Prophet ﷺ's worship. She told them, one of them said, "I will never marry, as some consider getting married as indulging in sin. As in Christianity, for someone to be a nun or who does not marry, that is being religious, while in our deen of Islam, this is not allowed, and doing nikah and getting married is encouraged, and piety is not to stay single." When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned home and he was told about those men and what they said, he called them back and told them, "Don't you see me? I have married. I fast and I also do not fast. And at nights I pray and sleep." As those men had thought for themselves that they had a different criteria and thought they needed to never marry or to keep fast all the time and never to sleep to be at the level of piety. The Prophet ﷺ told them that that was not right for them to adopt that way. So if anyone is poor or dependent and doesn't have much or any means, then Allah is vast and one with knowledge and can enrich whoever he pleases. Abu Bakr anhu said, "O believers, obey the commands of Allah and the promise of Allah to enrich someone, Allah will fulfill." Then he recited this ayah. The condition of getting married is to guard one's chastity. And if gets married for this reason, then Allah will enrich them. We cannot think that earning alone ensures being provided for. When two people marry, Allah will make means for their provision. وَلْيَسْتَعْفِفْ and should adopt chastity. الَّذِينَ لَا يَجِدُونَ نِكَاحًا حَتَّى يُغْنِيَهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ those who do not have means to marry, even those who have desires and needs. But there are rights of wife, and when there is no means to provide for her livelihood, nor is able to pay the mahar, nor have any possessions to keep her in a home, there is no option, then he should adopt chastity. Just because if the man is studying or unable to marry, doesn't give him permission to fall into unlawful relationships. Rather, they too are admonished to remain chaste. Even if they cannot marry at this time, they do not have the excuse to do whatever they want in an unlawful or haram way, and have to remain chaste and not get involved in unlawful relationships. They should wait until حَتَّى يُغْنِيَهُمَ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ, until Allah enriches them from His bounty. The first scenario is when one wants to marry to guard their chastity, then Allah will enrich them. And if someone is absolutely unable to marry and can fall into difficulty by marrying and does not have means yet, they still cannot leave chastity.